Please take your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 this morning. And let's look to God and ask His blessing on our time here. Father, we thank You for Your Word that is so practical, gives us everything we need for life and godliness. I pray that You would use this passage in our lives today to challenge us where we need to change. I'm going to clearly explain it, and may You use it to make us more like Christ, we pray in His name. Amen. I've been telling my message this morning, how to treat church people. How to treat church people. You know, family can be tricky, right? We love them so much, and yet they drive us crazy at times. Is that so true? Growing up in a family should really, it's how we learn to treat others in society. And parents, train your kids to obey and to be respectful, to use manners, and you know, the boys should protect the girls and things like this. There's a lot of life lessons that you learn growing up in a family. Otherwise, if we're not careful, we end up treating those we professed to love the most the worst. Isn't that ironic and sad at the same time? In this passage of Scripture, in 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 2, Paul instructs Timothy on how to treat his church family. And we need his instructions just as much today for our churches, in light of how many church fights there are, splits, disunity, that too often plagues our churches. We need to heed God's instructions. Last week, we learned from the study of a previous passage on how to have a great ministry by obeying the directives, focus on public duties, to teach truth, to be an example, to give attention to Bible reading, exhortation, and teaching, and to remember the call and ordination. And that directly is applicable for pastors, but, you know, for all of us as we seek to serve Christ, to remember those. And then focus on private development, to meditate on the truth, to give yourself wholly to it, to growing, and to take heed to yourself and to doctrine, both vital. And then to continue in it to save self and others from, I think, the false teaching, but at least all of it is growing spiritually there. Now, Paul continues to instruct Timothy on church life, and from his instructions, I think we can learn how to treat people by seeing the two ways that Paul explains in these verses. And again, you can see this from a pastor's perspective, but it is very applicable for all of us, that how we should treat one another in the church as well. So what's the first way? See how to treat the men. So he divides that up into genders here. Because the Bible knows those and has those clear. But do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers. So Paul first instructs Timothy to not rebuke an older man. And the older man, some translations even have elders, but it's not talking about the pastor's elders. He's going to get to that in verse 17. It's a different group. Here he's talking about just older people in the church, right? The older men, specifically. So he's talking about their age, much like he does in Titus 2:2. So rather than rebuking them harshly, you should exhort. The idea is to beseech or to urge, to encourage them to do right thing, which really is part of that is the role of preaching, is to urge you to do the right thing, as it says in 2 Corinthians 4:2. Convince, rebuke, exhort. And similarly here. And this goes back to how, he compares it to exhort him as a father. Because according to Scripture, we should treat our parents, our father, with respect. Leviticus 19:32 even tells younger people to arise in the presence of your elders and to listen to those that have, gray hairs, the years of wisdom should be respected. And especially in light of the law, which is given again in Ephesians 6:1, right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then quotes, honor your father and mother. Why? You want to live a long time? You need to listen to your parents and to honor and respect them. Otherwise, as one guy says it, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. You know, your parents will save you from a lot of heartache and trouble if you will listen. I mean, when they tell you not to play in the street, there's a reason for that, right? They are looking out for your welfare. They have some years of experience and they know some things. You may not think they know as much as they do, but it's amazing how that changes, right? The older you get, there's a direct correlation between your age and how much your parents know. Did you ever realize this? When you're like a teenager, your parents know nothing. Like as a kid, right, they knew everything, and then you know, as a teenager, they know nothing, and then as you know, young adult, it's like, wait, you know, dad actually knew some things. And you start to call him up for a few things. And then you start having kids, and then it's like, wow, he knew a lot, you know? And then by the time, you know, you're in your middle age or more, it's like, dad knew everything again, right? It just goes back that way. But part of this is we need to listen to our parents. God knew what he was doing when he gave us parents. Imagine that. And especially our fathers. The book of Proverbs, there's much instruction on listening, you know, sons listening to your fathers. So treat him that way, right? With respect and honor. And then to the younger men, to treat them as brothers. What does it mean? Not that you fight with them like brothers. Okay. That's not where we're going here, but as equals, right? That you don't put yourself above them and you order them around is the understanding here. Titus chapter 2 verse 6 is going to talk about how we're to. He gives instructions for the younger men. Likewise, exhort the younger men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity, sound reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that the one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing to evil to say of you. So there even specifically says, exhort them as young men. So we should exhort our older men as fathers, younger men as brothers. How many of you have experienced what it's like to be under a drill instructor? A few of you. Are drill instructors like nice and encouraging? No, they like yell at you and you know, make you feel like this small, and they, you know, beat you down and use tough talk to whip recruits into shape, right? To get them ready to go into battle, really, and to take orders. They are not known for their nice talk and their kind words. Being like a drill instructor is not how God wants us to act in the church. Instead, do you realize he, you know, especially if the man is older, we should be respectful and treat them with honor. Even if you need to, there may come a time when you need to bring up hard things with an older person, an older man. And you need to do that still respectfully and with honor, showing them honor. And then also, do you realize that exhorting and urging them is a better way instead of being harsh and demanding? This is why he said earlier, chapter 2, verse 1, therefore I exhort, first of all, Paul does this again and again, chapter 6, verse 2, you know, that teach and exhort these things. He does this in 2 Timothy 4, 2, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1, 1 Thessalonians 5, 14, 2 Thessalonians 3, 12, and even Peter does this in 1 Peter 5, 1. I, whom am a fellow elder, I exhort you. Right? I encourage you. I'm not bossing you around. I'm telling you and urging you to do the right thing. Even though Paul could have, as an apostle, called by God, commissioned, and sent. He had authority. But he typically chooses to exhort and encourage instead. Do you see how we should be treating them as you would want, you know, as we should, or are even our own fathers? Maybe you don't treat your dad that way, and that's a problem. That's a different problem. But we should be treating them as God calls us, instructs us as part of the law. In Exodus 20, verse 12, Deuteronomy 5, 16, Proverbs 20, verse 20, Matthew 15, 4, and then Ephesians 6. And notice many of those contexts, there's consequences when you don't. You don't live a long time in the land or on the earth as Paul broadens that application there in Ephesians 6. And then do you realize that you should be treating younger men in the church as equals, like a brother? Not squabbling, like is typical sometimes of young brothers. I can remember a lot of those, but should be where you learn to treat each other as equals. And typically today, I enjoy working with my brothers. It's like we have a connection that nobody else really does. We work well together. There's always the rivalry, but that's part of the fun of it. Are you encouraging them to follow the Lord as you should? I mean, as Paul later is going to tell Titus to exhort them, do this, follow Christ like this. Or are we ignoring our brothers, younger men, not caring for them as we should? Philippians chapter 2 says, if we have any consolation and comfort in Christ, what should we do? Think about only ourselves? No. But think about the needs of others and how we can be like Christ, who was humble, as he goes on to talk about there. Galatians 6:1, that we bear the burdens, help bear the burdens of others. We don't just ignore them, let them go on their way. They're not my family, I don't care. We are family, right? That's the illustration here. The analogy is that we are part of the family of God. He's said back in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, to know how to conduct yourself in the house of God. We're part of the same house. It's not like the neighbor kid down the street that you really don't care about as long as he doesn't mess with your stuff. It's your own kids. It's your own family. In this sense, blood runs thicker than water, right? We should care about each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. And what's the greatest need that any one of us have? First, to know Jesus Christ as Savior, right? That's why we care about one another. And then to, as someone trusts in Him, to see them grow in Christ. To be a disciple, to become more and more like Jesus Christ, as Ephesians 4, and to serve Him with our lives. And I'm so thankful that many of you are doing this. You're helping each other. You've gotten involved in Bible studies, and some of those have even recently started as you're ministering to a younger believer in Christ. Those of you who are older, because that's our obligation, right? As we've seen from Hebrews chapter 5, by this time you ought to be teachers. There comes a point where you need to put it into practice, what you've been learning, what God has been teaching you. And we do that, a great way to do that is through Bible studies. Do you see how to treat church men? First way. Second way, see how to treat church women. Paul goes on to instruct in verse 2, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity. So the understood command is to exhort, not rebuke. So again, he's exhorting them as mothers. So again, similar to fathers, that you would show them respect and honor. Much of Proverbs also talks to the children, saying, not just your dad, but listen to your mom as well. And Titus chapter 2 again, verse 3, is going to say, older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. So the instruction given for them there to encourage them to do the right thing. Not treating them as little or ignoring them, sidelining them sometimes as has been done in the past. And then the second group, to exhort younger women as sisters. Again, not the typical squabbling between siblings, but to learning to treat them as you would your own sister, with this caveat of with all purity. Why is this important? Well, he's already told us, verse 12, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. We need to live pure and holy lives. And the tendency often, especially in our sex-crazed culture, is to exploit women. That is not how we should be treating our sisters in Christ. But instead, as 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, instruct us, that we not only learn how to possess our own vessel, our own body, in sanctification and honor, but that we take care not to defraud others, to take advantage of others. Because remember, if they're not your spouse, then you don't have any rights there. And instead, You should seek to protect that for somebody else. Part of how this is accomplished is to be pure for the, especially pastors, I think is where Titus 2, again, he says that you teach the older women that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Notice how God's plan is. Equip the older women to teach the younger women. And then that removes a lot of the temptations, a lot of the problems that unfortunately have plagued churches and men in leadership that have fallen because of the temptations. To live pure lives. And part of that is investing in the older women so that they can turn around and invest in the younger women. So we need carefulness in how we love one another, to love one another as God calls us to. How many of you have seen Seven Brides for Seven Brothers? Right, it's an old classic, right? We love that movie at our house. And, you know, Adam Ponte goes to town and gets himself a wife, right? And he comes back and she doesn't realize that she's not going back to just the two of them, but there's all the brothers as well. And they have no idea how to treat a girl, right? When what do they walk in and she's like, I got a chocolate, you know, like offer her, you know, treat her like one of the guys. And she has to set them straight. And thankfully, Millie is up to the task of training her brothers, new brothers now, to be men who treat women the way they should be treated. And with all the hilarious things that ensue in the course of that movie. But do you see how you need to learn to, we need help learning how to treat women in church? This isn't necessarily comes naturally. We need to learn this. This is why God has given older women we should be encouraging and exhorting them to like we would our own mother. And like a mother, right? You don't talk back to your mothers. Because what happens if you talk back to your mom? There's consequences, right? It comes pretty hard and harsh and fast sometimes. And hopefully you learned that lesson very young in life because it's not a good thing. Are you seeking to show respect and honor even if an older woman needs to be rebuked? It may be hard conversations you have to have, but you can still do that in a loving and respectful way. Do you start with kindness? Not flattery, but kindness. And before challenging with the truth. So Ephesians 4:15 says you to speak the truth in love. And we need that proper balance of those two. Are you instructing them in how to be reverent, not slanderers, self-controlled, faithful in all things, teachers of good things, as we saw back in chapter 3, verse 11, as well as Titus 2:3. And then are you treating younger women as sisters, not bickering with them, but protective of them? And because you're being protective, you protect them from you, right? You know the limitations and you're careful with them. And there are certain boundaries that you don't cross, whether it's you have the Billy Graham rule or whatever it is, that you wouldn't be alone with another woman who's not your wife or your daughter. Whatever it is, Lord, that you take protections, that are you being careful to protect yours and her purity? We have responsibility, as 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us, to not take advantage of them. And unfortunately, too many pastors and other people have disqualified themselves in this area. Are you seeking to equip older women to teach the younger, to help all the church in this area of purity? Because that's God's plan. And older ladies, are you doing your job here? And I'm thankful for those who are. We have older ladies that are doing Bible study with younger ladies and investing and discipling them. That's not my role. Right? I should not be doing that. I mean, I do, you know, couple on couple. That's great. I do one-on-one with men, but I don't do one-on-one with women. Right? And guys, you shouldn't be doing that either. So this is the role for those of you who are older in the faith. This isn't necessarily an age thing. How old are you in the faith with the younger in the faith? And then younger ladies, are you being wise in your interactions with men? go to an older lady for counsel. Go to someone who isn't really the place to come to me. I mean, I will answer your questions, phone calls, texts, but don't stop by my office for a one-on-one conversation, right? That is just so we can help each other in this. And there are plenty of older ladies in our church that are qualified to do this. I'm thankful for those that are. Do you see how to treat church women? You ever noticed not very many people like to be in management? How many of you have been in management and you hated it and you got out of that job as quickly as you could, or couldn't be better to get rid of it, right? I mean, there's a few of you, right? You had the experience. You don't want to go through that again. It's all the drama and all the dealing with people. It's just hard. You just want to go to work and do your job, right? I mean, that's just natural. Do you see how this passage helps us to know how to treat different people in the church? In a sense, management that we need to do. Do you see how to treat the men and how to treat the women? Do you see how to treat church people? And then will you treat them as God instructs? Father, we thank you for your word that is so practical for life and godliness. Help us to treat others as you call us to, we pray here in his name. In Jesus' name, amen.